And I am not going to mute the line unless there's a bunch of people making noise and for the sanctity of everybody on the line and everybody that's going to listen to this via recording, blah, blah, blah. If I need to mute it to keep the line clean, I will, and I would prefer not to. And wow, we only have, there we go, we got a few more people showing up. So welcome back. I just want to start by saying congratulations to all of you. And I want to start there because, you know, I've been teaching this workshop in various forms and under different names, blah, blah, blah. I've been teaching this for, you know, better than a decade. I think I started in 05. And not everybody who starts completes. It's crazy. I mean, you know, people pay to be in this training and they get through a few classes and they think, oh my God, this is hard. And they fall behind and they get lost and they drop out. Happens all the time. And not you. So congratulations for making it to the end, truly. And I think the bigger congratulations is due for simply being your word, right? In the world of sales, your reputation, your career is really based on, and that's what this work is, right? Communicating, yes, I will. This is what I'm going to do for you. You know, being your word, showing up on time. Sales is really an act of an intention, telling people this is what I'm going to do and then actually doing it. So showing up on time and being your word and getting to the end of this course and finishing what you've started, it's a big deal in the world of sales. It's a big, big deal. So congratulations for being here. For those of you that just signed up, that just got on late, we are unmuted. So everybody can hear everybody. I'd like to be this way every call, if I could, and yet when somebody starts making a bunch of noise, then I'll have to mute that line or whatever. So, whoever is in area 313, I can hear noise on your line. So, before we get jumping in too deep, how about some ahas, right? So we've been here 11 weeks. You've learned a bunch of different rapport tools. You've learned a bunch of different language techniques. You've learned assumptions. You've learned hypnotic suggestion, a bunch of agreement frames, some objection handling tools. You know, we packed a lot in 3 months, a lot. And we're not done. We got I think the best stuff is happening today still. So today is not a fanfare day. Any ahas you want to share, any breakthroughs you want to share, like what's the best thing that you've gotten out of these 3-ish months? Anybody want to share anything like that while we're here?
Hey, it's Milton.
Hey, Milton.
Hey, Joel. A couple things.
Sure.
Thank you for helping me with everything, including learning a new language, which is NLP. And the biggest two things I've learned from you and from my good friend Douglas here is, as a scripted Mike Ferry agent, as I say that out loud, I've learned, I'm a highly emotional person. I have a lot of ups and downs and highs and lows, and, you know, keeping emotions in between the lines is probably the most difficult thing for me up until now. And I've learned to emphasize and use my weakness to a strength in my scripts, emphasizing emotion, thus
nice.
Communicating better. And then secondly, within my scripts, I've learned to use the techniques we learned together and grow within the script and yet create my own conversations through those techniques.
Perfect.
And so this is, I hope that made sense.
Yeah, it did to me.
Oh, Milton, Milton, that's really, you know, your why is beyond your years. You articulated that very well.
Okay, thank you.
Cool.
I might have confused myself in the second, but yes, that's
no,
it.
Not at all. So I think that's really the key, right? So most people think, oh my God, I have to memorize the scripts. And yet the scripts guarantee that I'm not listening. The scripts, I'm thinking about the right thing to say, and did I say it right? And the whole rationale for this training is to liberate you from the scripts. So I'm not thinking about what I'm going to say next. I'm actually listening to people. And then because I now speak this language, when I speak back, I speak because I'm practiced. I speak in terms of assumption and suggestion and agreement frames and double bind closes, right? I just naturally seek rapport and I listen wholeheartedly. And then when it's my turn to communicate back, I'm communicating back inside this language structure, which is that of influence. So Milton, that's the key, man. The key is that you learn these tools such that you can just talk to people in a way that's highly influential. Bravo. Yeah. Bravo.
Thanks.
Good job, Milton. Yeah. And then one other thing that you said, Milton, you said, well, I'm really a highly emotional guy. And keep in mind that, you know, emotion is what has people buy. Most people buy from a place of emotion. So I think it's brilliant that you see that and that you're capitalizing on that and that you're learning more and more so to use that to your advantage, right? That's what people buy. Oh my God, I have to live in this house, right? Those are the people that are going to strike your contract.
Well, I was just, Joe, reviewing the notes on meaning and,
yeah,
you know, you talk about the words we label things as is the meaning. And up until now, I'm saying up until now to hypnotize myself into realizing that up until now, I've been giving the fact that the word I chose as to define emotion was a negative word, which was quote unquote bad. And yet now I'm just choosing to define it differently. Nothing else has changed other than the meaning and the tag and the definition of that.
And a fact according to who? Right, there's the breakdown right there. Like, oh, I've been labeling this factual. Yeah, factual according to who? Is this good? Is this bad? Is it high? Is it low? Is it beautiful? Is it ugly? Is it expensive? According to who? Right, there's the problem.
Yeah.
Nice job, Milton.
Yeah Milton, really nice thank job. You for that. That was great, Milton.
Awesome. So anybody else, remember, quick reminder for those of you that showed up today a little bit late, the call is unmuted. If it gets noisy, if it gets crazy, I'll mute it, but I would like to not, just as fun an experiment. So anybody else have a win, a breakthrough, something crazy you'd like to share? By the way, if you're here and you're in a noisy environment you don't want to share, please mute your handset just so we don't get your line noise. So, I'm sorry, who was that wanted to share?
It was Douglas.
Douglas, please.
Yeah, I did a role play for the first time with Milton last week, and, you know, I don't have any role play partners right now, so I've been working on this material through this class, and the lecture of today's topic, which you introduced to me a year ago, and I just haven't role played with anyone, and I just floored myself, and I think I took Milton by surprise as well. But it was just coming out so effortlessly.
Well, you of all people here, Douglas, you've taken this pretty seriously. You're very excited about it, and you practice a lot. So you know, I expect that you know you've learned a lot of this because you've taken it very seriously.
It felt like I was channeling, you know, like I'm just relaxed and
nice.
The vibration's coming out of me. It's going wherever it wants to go, but it sure sounds good and it sure is working.
Really
exciting.
When I hear that, like, wow, it feels like I was channeling. What I hear is like, wow, I was really in the flow. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't stressing. It was just happening. So this is all the greats say that this is where their best work happens. In fact, there's lots of authors that say, I don't know, I just sat down and the book flowed through me. I didn't really write it because the book was better than I could have done. It just, I sat down and it just happened. So I think that's really the goal here. You guys have heard me talk about my friend that's got all the different black belts, right? When if for fun, if I tackle him or push him or try to get him off balance, which I do, he doesn't think, oh, this is a good place for me to use the Kung Fu Sao Su technique. He doesn't do that. He just flows. He just reacts, right? So that's the goal, is you practice, 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 and then when a customer does whatever they do, they give you an objection or they get upset, you know, you just flow with it because you practiced. That's really the technique. Right on, Douglas. Bravo. Bravo. Anybody else? A win, a share? By the way, somebody else just joined in late. Just so you know, we're unmuted. Everybody's unmuted. So if you're being noisy, please mute your own phone if possible. So anybody else? Wins, ahas, breakthroughs, anything before we jump into new stuff today? Does anybody have a win or an aha or some feedback about playing our most recent, our last rapport game, which is choosing to be interested in other people? Did you take that on this week, and what happened? Anybody have one of those you'd like to share?
Yes.
Lay it on.
I went on a listing appointment, and it was about somewhere, it's going to be about somewhere between 1.7 and 2.1 million.
Nice.
And I just let her tell me her and her husband's story about how they created their business, how they created their life, and that this beautiful home is a testimony to their life together. And they have no fear. He comes up with the idea, she organizes it, he creates it, she organizes it, and they're just an amazing team. And she walks me through the entire compound, shows me everything that's going on there, and then walks me out to my car. And I said to her, and I was just totally interested in her. I barely did any talking. And when I got out to my car, I said, are you going to be interviewing more agents? And she said, well, I was, but now I don't think I have to. I'm ready to get started. And she reached out and shook my hand. So I want you to come back next week when my husband's home. And he's back now, so I'm going out there this week to get the contract signed and get started.
So everybody else, this is what's supposed to happen when you do an awesome job of listening and asking good questions and being interested in them, right? The more you can make it about them, oh, wow, you did what? How did you do that? That's fascinating. And then you were this? Wow, that's good for you. That's amazing. What about this? Right? You just be in that space, be up-tempo and excited and interested, not interesting, be interested, listen really well, stay present. Right? Remember, the number one complaint is the salesperson didn't listen to me. So you just listen and keep asking questions, and this is what happened. They go, I think it's you. Great. What do we do? Where do we sign?
Yeah.
Bravo, Douglas.
Thank you.
Bravo, man. You only need a few of those to get your business healthy real quick, right? A couple of $2 million listings, and all of a sudden, my bank account's looking pretty good. Right on.
Well, what else is happening, Joel, is I'm excited to get on the phone now.
Yeah. Now, how do you put a value on that, right? It's the number one thing in the business, and people are like, I'm afraid to get on the phone. I don't know what to say. What if they yell at me? Right now, you're excited to get on the phone. Right. By the way, it's several weeks away, but I'm coming out with a new campaign for this work that's really about that, right? When you don't know what you're doing, new stuff, picking up the phone, lead generating, those things are scary when you're not sure what to do and what if they yell at me and what if they don't follow my script and my script is only here, what if they try something else, right? That's scary. That's like going into battle with a kitchen spoon, right? You don't have a full tool belt of tools. Yet when you know what you're doing, when you're practiced, when you've done your homework, when you've role-played it enough that you've, you know, filed out a bunch of contingencies, you know how to deal with objections, right? When you know how to do all that, then like Douglas, now it's exciting, right? This stuff is fun when you know what you're doing. Spooky when you're jumping in the dark. Awesome. I love it. I love it. Cool. Why don't we jump in and do some new stuff? So one more reminder. Which I'll say this every time somebody else joins on, we are unmuted. So if you're in a noisy environment, please mute your line, and you don't have to push any buttons on your phone. Let's just talk and live and be live and whatever. I'd also like to throw in a quick plug. I'm not launching one of these courses this month. If you want to come do it again, I highly recommend, just like going to the gym, right? You have a little momentum. Taking 6 months off means you start from scratch again. So I don't recommend that. I recommend that you stay current while you're warmed up. The next launch of this course right now is scheduled for August 9. That's 2 months out. I'm usually really slow in the summer because everybody's busy selling, me as well. So the next launch is August 9. Put it on your calendar, sign up early. That one, usually after the summer, usually sells out. So sign up early, put it on your calendar, figure it out, and you'll see some ad stuff coming soon. All right. Enough of that. Let's do some new stuff. And again, we're unmuted, so interrupt, right? Ask questions, interrupt. This is your call. So our topic for today is, by the way, you notice that there's no handout. So the topic that we have today, there's volumes and volumes and books and lectures written on this topic, and I have so far been unable to compress this down into 5 or 10 pages. I don't know how to do that. So I'm going to do my best to give you some samples and some context, and we'll do a little role play, and I'll give you a little demo, and hopefully some of it sticks. So our topic today is called Socratic questioning. Socratic questioning. So what does that mean? Well, Socratic, after Socrates, the great philosopher of ancient Rome. So Socrates had a reputation. There was a rumor, word on the street was, that he was the smartest man alive. And interestingly enough, he argued against this. He said, well, I can't be the smartest man alive because, right, so he argued against it. And ironically, him arguing against being the smartest man alive had everybody else around him even more convinced that he was the smartest man alive, which I thought was really interesting. So his model, this style, right? There's really no rule book on step one, step two. It's more of a philosophy. So the Socratic questioning model is as simple as I can make it, comes from the belief that I, the salesperson, in this case, the Socratic questioner, that I don't know the right answer, right? I don't know the right answer. I don't know what it's supposed to look like. I don't know the perfect thing. I don't know what the right answer is. And so I think this is the place that is the ultimate space of freedom for us as a salesperson. Because what most salespeople do is they assume that they know the right answer for the customer, and the salesperson is always biased, meaning if you are thinking you need to buy a new car and you walk into a Chevy car lot, then that salesman is going to go, well, let me show you all the Chevys I have. I got blue ones and red ones and green ones. What are they doing? They're showing you what they have available to sell, right? Why? Because they're biased. That's what they sell. They want you to buy their thing. And so are they being objective with you? No. Are they trying to totally find out your needs? No. Are they looking to find your true values, your buying criteria? No. They want to sell you what they have for sale. Us, on the other hand, because we sell real estate, it doesn't make any difference to me what my client buys. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care which house they buy. I want to help them sell this one and buy that one. They want to buy some investment property? Good. I don't care which one they buy. So I don't have that bias, nor should you. The difference here, though, is when we assume that we know the perfect solution for the customer, then it stops us from listening and it prevents us from asking questions, right? If you think you know the answer, you stop looking. And so one of the keys in this model of Socratic questioning is to assume that you don't know the answer. I don't know what's right for them. I don't know if what's best for my client, if they should sell this house and buy that one. Maybe remodeling this house would be better. Maybe selling this house and leasing would be better. Maybe adding 1,000 square feet to this house would be better. I don't know what's right for them. So I don't even have an opinion on what's right for them. How do I help them if I don't have an opinion? Well, it's also my belief that the client knows the solution. Again, it's my belief that we ask the right questions, the solution will bubble up from the client. When they say, I need one of these, I want one of those, I'd like this, I'd like that, it'd be look like this, one of those, then as we ask these questions, that the solution will become obvious. And for me, the ultimate solution, for me, the most eloquent solution is to lead the client down the path where the client goes, oh, Eureka, this one is what I want. Now, why do I want that? Because one of my intentions is to empower the client such that they're making their own decisions. And one of my intentions is to help the client process whatever it is that they need to process such that they come up with the perfect solution for them, bless you, not just the solution that I think is best for them. Right? So if I come up with a solution that I think is best for them, then what am I doing? Then I'm convincing them to do it my way because it's good for me. The more I convince, the more it damages our relationship, and the harder the sale is because I'm pulling, come on, over here, look at this, but let me show you, but look at this. It's work, it's effort. And it's also the thing, let this sink in, it's also the thing that produces objections. Yeah, God, we just want to think about it. God, I don't know about that. That feels like a lot of money. You know, for that kind of money, maybe we'll use another agent. You know, if I got to pay that, I'll just do it myself. All of these objections come from attempting to convince the client. When I give up convincing and I literally enroll the client in what the client wants, there's no resistance. And so I get very few objections, if any. All right, so did all that make sense? Did I lose you guys, or was that all good?
No,
all good. Awesome.
It's all good.
All good. All good. So let's do, just for fun, any questions about any of that? I know it's a wee bit esoteric. Yes.
Joel, this is my second time hearing you give this lecture, and you've honed it so much.
Well, I just try to say it however I say it, and sometimes it comes out better, and sometimes it doesn't come out as good. So
well,
it's
also
it
me hearing it for
side.
The second time.
Yeah, that too. That too. Right? What's that old saying that no man can stand in the same river twice because in 5 minutes from now it's not the same man and it's not the same river, something like that? So any questions about any of this before we do any more?
I'm just curious what a good book would be on the Socratic method or question.
There's so many. The one that I like the best, I shouldn't say that. There's so many. There's one that I like a lot that's called Socratic Selling.
Hmm.
Right? Most of the Socratic method stuff is based on like philosophy, and they're a little more loose. There's one that's really mm-hmm. focused on selling, Socratic Selling, and I think the author's name is Wolf.
Cool. Thank you.
That's a really good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Anybody else?
Yeah, Joel, I've read that book, and it's superb.
Yeah. Awesome. Is that the right author, do you know? Is it by a guy named Wolf?
Yes, it is Wolf.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wolf. I think there's two authors. It's Wolf and somebody else. So, yeah. Yeah, really good one. Anybody else? Questions, comments, anything?
Hey, Joe, this is Jimmy. Is there any other book you can recommend regarding NLP?
Or
NLP?
Well, I don't know which books you've read. And NLP is a huge thing. That's like saying, what books do you recommend for psychology, right? It's a huge field. I recommend, though, at the beginning, the place to start is I think the two perfect books to start. One is called Instant Rapport.
Instant Rapport.
The author's name is Michael Brooks. Instant Rapport by Michael Brooks. That's the rapport game, how to read people, you know, how to look for clues in the way they move and where their eyes look. There's a little, there's a chapter in there on lie detection, on how to read people's cues, if they're being honest or not. Very, very powerful book on rapport, which in this work is everything. Michael Brooks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Again, rapport is everything. Without rapport, none of what you've learned in this class will work. If you're out of rapport, if your client's a little church lady and you're swearing and dropping F-bombs, it doesn't matter how good you are with the techniques. They're going to back out, right? Rapport is everything. So Instant Rapport is a great one. And then, Jimmy, the next one that I would recommend is called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself.
What to Say When You Talk to Yourself.
And the author's name, I think, is Helmstetter. I think it's Helmstetter, I think. Chad Helmstetter. And that's a book on, the topic there is construct and speaking in the affirmative and talking about what you want instead of what you don't want. And the power of language being a tool of creation instead of a tool for description. It's a brilliant little piece of work. Both of those books are really small. What to Say When You Talk to Yourself.
Oh, yeah, I read it.
And they're both pretty small, little easy-to-read books, especially Instant Rapport. It's very small. Cool. So that would be the place to start, those two, if you haven't read them already.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cool.
Yes.
May I recommend one?
Sure.
From NLP.
For what topic?
NLP, well, because it follows along with the Socratic sales, only it breaks it down into NLP words, but it's called NLP Sales Skills by Terry Elston.
Oh, I've not read that one.
Oh, it's right out of the Socratic system.
Sweet, thanks.
How do you
I hope everybody else wrote
name?
That down.
You said Terry, what's the Elston?
Elston.
Elston.
Yeah, Terry Elston.
Awesome.
I see an Amazon book binge coming on.
Hold on, one at a time.
Again? What was the title of the book? NLP Sale?
Doug, the title.
It's NLP Sales Skills.
Skill. Thank you.
NLP Sales Skills. And Alexis, did you have a comment, question?
Oh, just a side comment that I see an Amazon book binge coming on.
The NLP Sales Skills is available in Audible audio book too, so it's really fun for me because I listen to it at the gym.
And Alexis, because you're local to me, I have several of these in my library. You're welcome to borrow.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, I got a handful of these that you're welcome to take anytime you want. All right, so let's do an example. Right, so we can read books all day. So let's do an example of this so you guys know kind of what we're talking about. So let's rip through the whole thing. Let's do, set an appointment, confirm an appointment, close the sale, get the listing, take the signature, right? We should be able to do all that in 15, 20 minutes, right? Plenty of time. So let's have one of you set up a scenario. Should we do a for sale by owner? Should we do an expired listing? Should we do where would you guys like to start? I'm going to let you guys decide.
How about for sale by owner?
How about a for sale by owner? Okay. And would one of you like to volunteer to role play? Would one of you like to be the for sale by owner?
I will be the for sale by owner.
Yes, Jimmy? Right on.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to let you set the scenario. Is this my first call? Do we already have the appointment? Am I at the house? Am I calling to confirm the appointment? Like, where are we in the process?
Let's assume that we have the appointment already and you show up.
Okay, I've already set the appointment and now I'm coming, I'm ringing the doorbell. I'm coming to list the, I'm coming to see the house. Yes?
Yeah, you're coming to my mansion.
I'm coming to your mansion.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, so one thing I want to put in place first is during the time that we were on the phone, let me get some clarity just to make sure I'm clear. So I called you, I got your number somehow, I called you, we spoke on the phone a little bit. For whatever reason, you liked me enough to invite me over, yes?
Correct.
Okay, and we had an appointment today at 11:30, and it's 11:30, and here I am ringing your doorbell, right? So I'm on time. Before I booked the appointment today at 11:30, when you said, yeah, that's great, come on over, Wednesday, 11:30, at that point on the call, I would have done some pre-qualification right there, meaning that I would have said something like, great, I'm looking forward to it, I'll be there at 11:30 sharp. So, Jimmy, before I come over and see your home, I have a couple of questions I'd like to ask you right now to make sure that I'm as prepared as possible. Do you have a minute? Can I ask you a few questions now? And he would have said, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
sure,
go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Right, so then I would just ask him a few things just to, so I don't walk in cold. So what kind of things do I want to know? So, Jimmy, I'm curious. Tell me again, how much are you asking for the home?
Right now, we're asking about $1.5 million for the house.
$1.5 million?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you been attempting to sell? How long have you been marketing?
If you look at your notes, we've been on the market right now for about a few days.
A couple of days?
Yeah.
Okay. And Jimmy, if you were to get this property sold, well, first of all, your mansion, you've described it to me, it sounds pretty amazing. I mean, it sounds, I've only heard your description and seen a picture of the outside. It sounds pretty amazing. Why are you selling such a beautiful home?
We're trying to downsize and move to Caribbean.
Ah, to the Caribbean. Good for you.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in the Caribbean?
We're probably thinking of going to St. John.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, I love the Caribbean. Love it. So, Jimmy, what would it do for you to move to, I mean, of course, everybody wants to live there. So what would it do for you to be able to sell this big home and downsize and move to St. John?
Oh, well, I'm looking towards probably retiring in a couple of years, probably in the next 365 days.
Okay, so you're wanting to retire within the next year. What happens if I get the house sold in a month or two? Is that going to be okay for you?
Yeah, that'll be okay. We have a house there already.
Oh, you have a house there already. So if you sell this one, you're just going to rent and stay here until you can complete your retirement and then full-time in St. John's?
If I can get 1.7 for the house, I probably will just take early retirement and just move on.
Ah, got it.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I would love to get you to St. John. Maybe I can even come visit.
That would be great. You'd be welcome.
So it sounds like you've been a hardworking guy. You've amassed some wealth, at least in this piece of property, and you have a home in St. John's. You're definitely doing something right. And it's now time for you to retire. So, Jimmy, if we could get this home sold, get you maximum profit, get you all cashed out, help you retire, maybe even help you retire early, get you all checked in St. John and living on this gorgeous Caribbean island, ultimately, what would it mean for you if all this came true?
It would be joy and happiness.
Awesome. And so everybody else. Right now, we're not talking about selling the house. So now we're talking about his joy and happiness. Great. So, Jimmy, I will do everything in my power to make this come true for you. So you've told me a little bit about the house. I know what you want for the house. Will you share with me roughly how much do you owe on the house?
Right now, we only owe about $319,000.
I'm sorry, about $319,000?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. You have a nice equity position there.
Yeah.
Perfect. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate this house, 10 being perfection?
To the best of my knowledge, I will probably say 9.5.
Oh, 9.5. Okay, and what's the half? What's the half that would make it perfect? What would that be?
I don't know. Maybe I should say 10. Everybody wants to say 10.
Maybe a 10.
Yeah.
Great. And then what have you done so far? I know it's been less than a week. What have you done so far to market the home, to showcase it, and what kind of feedback have you gotten so far?
Well, we have a few agents come by. They give us their honest opinion.
Sure.
We have a lot of wow factors, you know, in the house. So I would like to be able to showcase what we have in this house. So
very nice.
Based on their honest opinion, I think we have a good property here, a good house.
Okay. So based on the opinion of these agents that have come to see it, you have good feedback. They gave you their price opinions are close. You're in the ballpark, yes?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Perfect. Jimmy, I'm very comfortable that I can help get you to St. John's and that we can help you fulfill your retirement and get you living your life of happiness and joy in the Caribbean. I'm very confident that we can do that. So you said today at 11:30, and who's on title, Jimmy? Just you and your wife? Who's on title for the house?
Just me.
Just you? Okay,
yeah.
Easy. Okay, great. I'll see you today at 11:30. Does that still work for you?
Yeah, that will work.
Okay, good. I'll see you at 11:30, right? So I want all that kind of set up to book the appointment. Why? I want to demonstrate to the customer that I'm interested, that I'm paying attention. I want to know what's going on. This is what professionals do, right? You don't go to the doctor and he goes, oh, you got a headache? Lobotomy. All right, come on in. Let me give you the lobotomy. No, they ask 100 questions to help you solve it. So I'm asking, what about this? What about that? What would this do? What would that do? What do you want? What about this? Right, so now I feel like I have an understanding. I'm not walking in cold. Right, so now I show up at 11:30, which was 8 minutes ago, and I ring the doorbell, and he answers the door, and I say, hello, Jimmy, it's Joel Rico, the real estate broker. We had an appointment today for 11:30, and it's 11:30. Very nice to meet you. And you say whatever you say. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'll say, come on in.
Oh, thank you very much.
Have a seat at the dining table.
Perfect, at the dining room table. Very good. So, Jimmy, thanks for inviting me over, and I'm excited about the possibility of helping you retire early and getting you to St. John's. That's lucky you. Good for you. I intend that this is a payoff of a lot of hard work and that you deserve it. So let's see if we can make that happen for you.
Thank you.
So, Jimmy, I'm curious. How long have you owned this house?
I would say about maybe 20 years right now.
20 years. And did it look like this when you bought it, or did you do all this stuff?
We did all this stuff. We didn't look like
you did all this.
We rebuilt the house.
Great. When you bought this house, did you look at a lot of houses and you chose this one, or did you buy the lot and build it? How did you come to owning this?
Well, that's a great question. Do I have to tell you that?
No, just make up whatever, right? Just make up whatever. And you have to say, like, and please be honest. You can say, what does that matter? Who cares how I got it? right? Do say whatever's authentic for you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I guess it does. Do I have to give you all that information?
No, you don't have to. I'm just, the more I understand, the easier it is for me to, you know, understand your situation and help you. So, Jimmy, when you purchased this house, how many different properties did you look at before you decided that this was the winner?
To be honest with you, I didn't look at that many houses. To be honest with you,
okay.
I just probably look only about maybe about two because I want this particular neighborhood.
Okay, so you only looked at you already knew in advance that you wanted this neighborhood, and you only looked at a couple, and this was the best of the couple that you looked at. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And so, where was it priced compared to the other ones that you looked at and the other neighborhoods? Was this higher, lower, in the middle?
I probably say it was priced competitively at market value at that time.
Okay, it was competitive for the value at that time based on the other things you looked at. Perfect.
Exactly.
So, Jimmy, I know this is not the case. I know that we're going to get you to St. John's, yet if you were moving into this neighborhood, right, somebody's going to come buy this house. So just for fun, let's pretend that you were the buyer and you called me up and you said, hey, Joel, you're my real estate broker. I love you. I trust you. I need to find a house in this neighborhood. Will you show me some houses? I would show them several houses, right? They want to buy in this neighborhood. Here's the ones that I would show them. Now, I'm handing you a list of some houses. So, Jimmy, here, take this. Here's some houses. Now, your house is not in this list because your house is not for sale. This is a list of some houses in the area that are about this big, that are in the area, that are about this size, about this price, about the square footage, about the same lot size, roughly. This is your competition. So, Jimmy, if you were that buyer and you were moving into this neighborhood and your mansion is not yet available, not for sale, and you were going to have to pick between these five that I'm giving you right now, which of these five would be most interesting to you? Right now, I'm going to shut up until he picks one. He's going to say number two, number three, number whatever. So,
yeah.
Jimmy, which one of these is most interesting to you?
I probably will go with the one with the four bedrooms and a three and a half bathroom.
I'm sorry, four bedrooms and?
Three and a half bathroom.
The four, three and a half, right? Let's call that house number four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what was it, Jimmy, about house number four that had it be to the top of the list for you?
It's comparable to my house.
Yeah, it's most comparable to your house.
I have a four-bedroom, three-and-a-half bathroom over here.
And then if you look in the upper right-hand corner right there, what's the price of house number four?
Looking about probably about 1.7.
About 1.7. Okay, and then right below 1.7, it says DOM. That means days on market. How long has it been on the market at 1.7?
It looks like it's only 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. And so in this hot market, right, we have a lot of houses that are selling four and five and six offers in one day. So this property's been sitting there 10 days. So, Jimmy, if you were going to write an offer on that house, would you write a full price offer or would you write an offer below full price?
I probably would. The human nature will kick in. I don't want to pay full price. I probably go
so
below.
So how much below would you offer, do you think?
I don't want to install the seller. I probably would do about maybe $1,650,000.
Maybe $1,650,000. Okay. So now, Jimmy, here's the big question. If this house that's the best one on the market, the most comparable to yours, the same four bedrooms, three and a half bathrooms. I mean, it's very comparable to yours. If the value of that house is really closer to 1.65, then at what price should we put your house on the market so a buyer will buy your house before house number four, so you can go to St. John's instead of that guy? What do you think we should ask the buyers?
I probably go about 1.6.
Maybe 1.6.
1.6.
Okay, good. So I'm going to write on the contract 1.6 right here. So about 1.6. I think that's a good place to start. And so if we can get your house at 1.6, it's just a tiny bit below that one, and hopefully that'll get you the buyer instead of that guy. Does that make sense, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Okay, so I guess the next question is how aggressively would you like me to market the home? Do you want me to go slow and let it marinate on the market? Or should we do a blitz and we'll do a broker's open and we'll do, you know, a media push and we'll drive a bunch of action so we get you to St. John's quicker? Is that the plan, as quick as possible to St. John's?
Oh, yeah. I probably want, you know, I want a full blast, aggressive marketing plan.
Full blast?
Yeah, full blast. To get it
wrapped
up quickly.
So then, Jimmy, how much access may I have? Meaning, today's a Wednesday. That means we have a Thursday, a Friday, and then a weekend. Can we, you know, can we hold the brokers open? Can we have a wine tasting party here this weekend? Can we hold it open this weekend? Can we do a media blast? Is this weekend too soon for us to, you know, start showcasing and having events here? Or do you need another week to get ready? Or is this weekend okay?
I would probably say next weekend. Yeah.
Next weekend. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. That'll give us time to get professional photos and create brochures, and we can do it without being rushed.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Great. So, wow, it sounds like we're on the same page. We have a price in mind. You're ready to set up the brokers open, the double open houses, the wine tasting event. We'll set up the virtual tours. We'll get all that done. I normally bring through my stager to have the house staged, but your mansion's pretty darn good. I don't really see anything here that needs to be staged. I'll bring her in anyways for a walkthrough, but it looks pretty good as it is. Great.
Is that going to be extra cost? Is that part of the cost of the
Stager? No. I pay for the stager. She'll come in and do it, and I pay for professional photos, and that's part of my professional service.
Okay.
So it sounds like we're on the same page, and if you're ready to let me take it on, then I guess just sign right here on the bottom line, and I'll put all the pieces in place. I'll get the stager coming, the photographer, I'll get the virtual tour guy here, and we'll hit it hard next weekend. So go ahead and sign right there on the bottom left.
Well, I don't want to sign because you didn't discuss with me how much fees you're going to charge me. We haven't even
talked
on that at all.
Sure. Well, the industry standard commission is, I charge the same as everybody else. I just get much better results.
Would that be? You said everybody else. I mean,
yeah,
I have the last agent came in, he was going to charge me 5%.
Wow. Going to charge you 5%. Wow. So
yeah.
The industry standard commission is 6%. And I'm interested, though, the last agent was going to charge you 5%.
He told me the same thing that you said, that the industry standard price, is 5%, not 6%.
Wow. So did he start at 6% and you negotiated him down to 5%, or did he start at 5%?
He started at 5%.
Wow. So I'm happy to show you. I can pull out my computer and show you the industry standard for years and years and years and years and years, it's been 6%. If this other agent, Jimmy, if he is or she is beginning with a discount, they're already discounting their own fees below the industry standard.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're looking for? Are you looking for a discount agent, or are you looking for an agent that's going to sell your house at retail?
Well, I'm looking for someone that's going to be able to sell at retail
Yeah.
At the same time, being able to pay the, I mean, I look at, you know, you showed me everything on your laptop. I was looking at the, all the listings on the MLS. So most of that 2.5%, 2.5%. That's even one for 2%. Can you imagine?
Yeah. So I'm happy to show you. There's lots and lots and lots of examples, hundreds of them. In fact, there used to be one on the homepage of the National Association of Realtors that showed a difference between homes that are listed at 6% sell at, I think the number at the time was 98.5% of full price. Homes listed at 5%, that's the 2.5 that you're seeing,
mm-hmm.
right? 2.5 and 2.5 is 5. So the homes that are listed at 5% were selling at 93% of asking price. And then mm-hmm. homes that were less than 5% were selling at like 89% of full price. So yes, Jimmy, it's very possible and likely there are agents that are willing to reduce the commission. And yes, you can save a point. And yet statistics show that you're going to give up the margin. So what's the difference, Jimmy, between 98.5 and 93? How much is that difference?
About 0.5. Right there.
Yeah, it's 5.5%, 5.5%. So is it worth it to save 1 point in commission and give up 5% of your equity? Is that a good trade?
Well, I will say that, but what I'm really curious about is you said that the association having an adequate showing, citing commission, you know, 5%, 6%, what would be the return on those rates? Do you have any article to show me so I can see that?
I can show you lots and lots of examples of the margin between homes listed at full price, they sell listed at full commission, sell closer to full price, and homes listed at discount commission sell at discount prices. Can I tell you why that works? Would you like to know why it is that way?
I would like to know. I probably have an idea where you're coming from. Yeah, I get
well,
it.
So,
yeah.
Well, it works that way because the commission is the number one tool that I have to help market the home. I use half of the commission. I use it like bait to attract all the agents to come show your house first. And the other half I use as marketing. To hold open houses, to do flyers, to do directionals, to do Facebook ads, to mm-hmm. hold events. So the more of those things that I'm able to do, the more exposure, like you said you wanted a giant blitz exposure. That's the thing that funds that exposure. In fact, even in this hot market, there's a lot of sellers that are paying a regular 6% commission plus offering a bonus.
Wow.
To the buyer's agent that brings in the buyer. So if we say, hey, we'll give you 3% for bringing in the buyer, plus $5,000 if you close it by such and such a date, you know, I hold events where I can get 100 realtors to show up by offering them a free glass of wine. Do you know mm-hmm. what they'll do for $5,000 extra? So the question, Jimmy, is do you want every agent to show your house? Or do you want just some to show your house?
Well, I would like, you know, every agent to show the
every
house.
Agent.
I'm just curious. I'm listing a house for 1.5 at 6%. You're looking about over $60,000.
Yeah, I know it sounds like a huge. So I hope everybody's paying attention, right? These are the objection handlers here, Jimmy. I know agreement frame. I know this sounds like a huge amount of money. $60,000.
It is a huge amount of money.
I know.
If you have selling, you know, in 24 hours, so you guys making, you know, $60,000 in 24 hours?
Well, if that was the case, then wouldn't you have already sold your house? If you could just throw it up and have it sell in 24 hours, wouldn't you have already gotten a sale?
Well, probably if I listed with a professional, it probably would happen. I'm just curious, what else are you guys going to do to making all these thousands of dollars?
Sure. Sure. Well, we're going to do a bunch of things. So number one, yes, I know 60 sounds like a lot of money. And remember, that's cut in half. Half goes to this brokerage, half goes to that brokerage.
Yeah.
And then part of it goes to the house, right? My office keeps a chunk, and I keep a piece of half. So of the piece of the half that I get to keep, the IRS takes a big piece of that, and the piece that's left is the money that I spend to market and promote and showcase the home. I think, Jimmy, a better question, though, is if you're selling $1 million, in this case, $1.5 million home, $1.6 million home, does it make sense to you that you should hire, you know, like this previous agent that you spoke to, their strategy was not even to ask for a full price commission. Their strategy was to start by asking for a discounted commission. So is that the kind of broker that you want to put in charge of your home? Somebody who's demonstrating to you that their strategy is to discount the money. Do you really want to put them in charge of your $1.6 million house?
Probably not, to be honest.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make sense to hire somebody who's going to defend the money? Because this is your money, right?
Yeah, I would like to have someone that's going to defend my equity.
Exactly. And can you see just by this conversation that as I'm defending the commission, do you see that I'm going to defend your equity just as well? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Great. So, Jimmy, this is why I recommend, especially in this price range, that you hire a professional broker who's going to protect you and your equity and not just give it away like the last agent. They're giving away their own money. What do you think they're going to do with your money?
Probably give it away.
Probably give it away, too. All right, so Jimmy, are you ready to move yourself to St. John's, cash out of this home, take all this money with you? Are you ready for this retirement?
Oh, I've been ready, but I would like to do, I really appreciate what you have to share with me, you know, this morning or this afternoon. I understand where you're coming from, you know, great presentation, you know, great strategy, great marketing plan. I see you have one more agent that I would like to talk to, and that will happen probably about 1 o'clock. After that is done, I will give you a call. How does that sound?
Great. So, Jimmy, I totally appreciate you want to, you know, talk to a few people. I understand it's a very big decision. And the decision
just
today that
agent.
You have to make? Yeah, I got it. You talked to the one before, and now me and one more. I got it.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy, there's really three things that you need to decide. Number one, are you going to sell this house and move to St. John's? Yes, you've already decided that. Number two, what price are you going to set on the home? Right, you already decided that.
Yeah.
And then number three, who are you going to choose to represent you in the sale? Right, that's the only thing that you haven't yet decided.
That's true.
So, Jimmy, my question remains is, what is it that we haven't yet discussed that you don't feel totally confident about getting the home on the market and getting it started right away? What's the one thing that we haven't covered that you'd like to know about?
Oh, honestly, we've covered everything. Yeah, we've covered everything. I just, like I said, just one more agent that I promise I'm going to give him a chance to come over and make a presentation. After that is done, I will talk to my wife and we will decide which agent we're going to choose.
All right, so I'm going to stall the role play here for a moment. Hang on a second, Jimmy, because we're at the top of the hour. I want to throw a couple of comments in here really quick before we time out. So first of all, I hope everybody can feel that this objection handling thing can go on for a little while. And just like the commission, I had to go a couple of rounds, right? I'd handled it, and he said, well, but I had to handle it again. Now the next objection is, well, but there's another agent. I might have to handle this a couple of times. I'd also like to point out that we were in the beginning, and this happens frequently in doing a role play because we're just making stuff up. In the beginning, nope, no wife, just me. Now he's saying, well, you know, I got to check with my wife, right? So there was a little shift. I would have known that in the prequel. If the wife wasn't here, if the wife was a decision maker, then I would have rescheduled the appointment to when the wife could have been there to prevent this, right? I don't want to have an appointment with one and, oh, well, let me talk to my husband. He'll be home next week. I don't want to do that. I want to wait till they're both home and just do it once. And this objection is just another objection. There's a lot of ways to handle it. We're at the top of the hour. I promised I'll hang out and do some more if you want, but I promise to be punctual. So what I hope you all got from this whole process is, were my questions leading? Yes, yes, they were leading questions. A question for all of you is, who did most of the talking? Maybe him. Who asked all the questions? Me, definitely me. Who came up with the price? Right. Remember, when we called, he was 1.7. When I walked him through the prices, by the way, he created all the prices. Hey, here's the comp. What are they asking? What would you pay? How long has it been on the market? What does that look like? He created all of those, and then he created his own list price at 165. Right? I didn't suggest any of those. He created all of that. So the thing to get is, I didn't convince him. I didn't try to manipulate him. So, Jimmy, if this was true, if this was really your house and this was really our listing appointment, how do you feel about me so far as your broker? Do you trust me? Am I an okay guy?
Oh, I trust you, yeah. That's true.
Why? Why?
Well, you've been honest with everything that you, with the conversation.
How do you know I've been honest? I didn't tell you anything.
Are you sure, mean the comparables?
Yeah.
What it was selling for.
Here's a very key part. Jimmy says, I trust you because you were honest. I didn't tell him anything. All I said was, well, here's some stuff around you. This one's for sale. That one's for sale. This one's for sale. Which one would you buy? How much are they asking? How long has it been on the market? What would you offer? Right? He did all the driving. And I didn't tell him squat. And he trusts me. Why does he trust me? Because everybody else was saying, no, 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 trust me. I can get you 1.8. Look at this. No, let me show you. Believe me, I can do it. Everybody else is attempting to convince him. And whenever he gave me any static, whenever he started getting really squirrely, I'd say, well, hang on a second. We're going to move you. You're going to St. John's, right? We're not talking about this. We're talking about getting you to St. John's, retiring, happy, joyful life. So I found out his motivation in the beginning, and at the end, I'd always circle back around to, well, we need to get you to St. John's, right? You're retiring, right? Let's get this happening for you. So my close is not about the house. My close is about his happiness and getting him to St. John's. And hopefully the part that you got today, my intention for today, was questions. Let the questions do the driving. And let the client do all the hard work. Jimmy did all the heavy lifting, right? How long have you owned it? What did you look like? What does this look like? How did that work? What are they asking? What should we do? What would that do for you? What ultimately, what would that mean for you? Right? Jimmy did all the work. All I did was ask a few questions.
I got to go.
Now, was I leading him? For sure I was leading him. Of course I was. Because where are we going? I'm moving towards a solution. I don't know what the price is. I don't know what the terms are. But I know where we're headed. I know the steps it takes to get him to St. John's. And all I'm thinking is, what's it going to take to get him to St. John's? All right. Before we totally time out, questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs, anything from anybody, anything at all?
I just have one. as far as the commission goes, I don't know what it's like in other areas, but I know this. Our area has shifted from doing the 3 and 3 to 3.5 and 2.5.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it a little bit more tricky because, you know, 2.5 is kind of the standard now.
On the buy side, you mean?
Yeah. So if
are you worried about an objection for that?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, like you were saying in your role play, it's, you know, 3%, it used to be the standard, but
yeah,
now that's kind of
on the buy side.
Shifted. Yeah.
And so at, the seller's paying the same, 6, and it used to be 3 and 3, and now because we're in a strong seller's market, and there's such a shortage of inventory, now a lot of listing agents are keeping 3.5 and giving away 2.5. So
mm-hmm.
is your question, how do you sell that to the seller? Is that the question?
No, I think, I mean, for instance, I have a friend who just gained a listing by offering 5%.
Uh-huh.
And the sellers had interviewed multiple agents.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, well, they have more of an incentive to work. I mean, well, maybe not more of an incentive, but there is an incentive because that's not going to be like shorting the buyer's agent either way, because you know, 2.
Well, but the buyer's agent doesn't. The buyer's agent doesn't know if it's 2.5, 3.5, or if it's 2.5, 2.5. The buyer's agent
mm-hmm.
just knows what it is. They don't know what the listing agent's going to get, nor should they ever. Right? That's never disclosed to the buy side. So, in a strong seller's market, when the inventory is really short, then listing agents can sometimes get away with that because they know
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a feeding frenzy on the house. Mm-hmm. At a decent price anyway. And
mm-hmm.
and in that market, the listing is the valuable commodity. So those agents are working much harder to get them. So that's how I see it.
Okay.
And
you think that will shift again when the market balances out?
For sure. There'll be a time, right, when the market turned the other way and there was a glut of property on the market and there was nobody buying, then listing agents were keeping 2 or 2.5 and they were giving up 3.5 and 4. When the market
wow.
changes, when the market's hot, builders don't cooperate with brokers. When the market sucks, I've seen them offer 6% to a buyer's agent to bring a buyer to my house. Please bring in your buyer, 6% to
wow.
your buyer. Yeah, that's a function of the market.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. And that cycle,
that was,
depending on if you're in a buy or a sell market. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you to Jimmy if he's still on, because that was awesome. I learned a lot from that interaction. It was great.
I like it when somebody role plays that with me and they're not a pushover, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy was a little it looks like Jimmy hung up. So Jimmy was a little tough and he didn't just roll over for the program. He was saying, well, hang on a second, what about this? Well, hold on, the other guy said, right, he was giving me a lot of resistance, which is reality. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the role plays good. So my recommendation is that when you guys practice, when you role play for real. Give your partner some pushback. Like, make them work for it. By the way, the perfect role play is say no a couple of times, make your partner jump through a couple of hoops, and then eventually say yes. So they get in the habit of this didn't work, this didn't work, this didn't work. Okay, that worked. They get in the habit of trying a few things and then being successful. The perfect setup for your role play partner is be tough, be tough, be tough, and then let them close. Because that's the way to indoctrinate your partner. Try 2 or 3 different things, and then I get success.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the perfect role play. Awesome. Thank you, Alexa.
Cool. Thanks, Joel.
Anybody else? Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody else? Questions, comments, anything? And pretty please, if you would. I love it if you guys would send me a testimonial, even just a paragraph. That's really awesome. Love.
experiencing technical difficulties.
Oh.
You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
Goodness. I guess we're having technical difficulties. I don't know. I've never had that before. I'm going to turn the recording off.
Thank you, Joe.
And I guess we're done. So, everybody, thanks for being here. Thanks for spreading the word about this training. And please be in touch. I'll see you all again very soon. Yeah,
okay.
Thanks, Douglas.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye, everybody. See you next time.